Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today our travels on Route 51 take us to the Highway E off-ramp, onto the Information Superhighway, as we look at the way businesses are using the Internet and its various offshoots as an increasingly invaluable tool for marketing their products. Wisconsin Public Radio is sponsoring an all-day conference on e-marketing for business. It happens this coming Wednesday, June 3rd, at North Central Technical College. And one of the keynote speakers is our guest today, Brad Kleinman, the Chief Marketing Officer of WorkSmart eMarketing. He has also served as the Associate Director of the Key Entrepreneur Development Center at Cuyahoga College. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Kirk Howard and Chris Martin of Kinsey Green Marketing of Wausau, one of the most established marketing firms in central Wisconsin, to give you an idea of how e-marketing is being used by businesses in our area. As always, we want to hear from you. Maybe you would like to start your own business, and you've got questions about the way the Internet is leveling the playing field. Maybe you're already in business, and you've got questions about how to use the Internet, blogs, Facebook, and Twitter to better connect with your customers. Please give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are open right now, and this is your chance to get some free information and free advice. Brad Kleinman, welcome to Route 51.
Well, thank you for having me, Glenn.
And tell us about this conference that's coming up on Wednesday. What are the sorts of things you'll be covering?
Well, this is a conference that if you're a small business, but also this is great for nonprofits, for anyone really trying to build and propagate their brand using the web. This is an e-marketing techniques conference, and we're going to go over the gamut of e-marketing techniques and tools from not just the social media, which is the big buzz right now, and I'm sure we'll talk about Twitter and Facebook right at some point during the radio station today, but we're also going to talk about some of those core fundamentals, how to make a better website, how to actually measure the success of your website and the success of your e-marketing campaigns. That's one thing that we see is that a lot of businesses don't really know how to actually measure the success of the different initiatives that they're putting into place online.
So this is not just for business people.
That's right. It really, when it comes to e-marketing and propagating your brand on the web, there's a lot of universal truths. I mean, there's, when you got a website, you need to make sure that it's conversion-centric and that you're building it in, with a mentality that, you're not just trying to get good content out there, but you're also trying to get people to convert in some way. And so it goes the same thing if you're selling a widget or if you're selling an idea to get someone to donate to your cause if you're a nonprofit. Or if you're just an individual looking to get a job. And, of course, with the recession coming and unemployment, mm-hmm. there comes the need for us to be able to
market
get
ourselves
out there.
Yeah, so if you're selling a widget, selling an idea, or selling yourself, let me tell you about this conference. It is a conference, a one-day affair on e-marketing techniques for business. It is at North Central Technical College. It's sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio. It's this Wednesday, June 3rd. Now, there is a fee involved, and you can register for it at emarketingtechniques.com. That's emarketingtechniques.com, or by telephone at 715-803-1335. This is a Wausau phone number, so that's 715-803-1335. And Brad, I'll tell you, we've already got a caller on the line, so I'm going to go take this phone call right now. And Pat and Rhinelander, you're on Route 51. Hello, Pat.
Hi, great show. My question is, I'm trying to get a site together for a nonprofit, an APV organization up here in Oneida County. We want to have a blog or a forum, would be even better. And then we are also thinking about doing an e-store. Now, my question is, what software should I go to, or am I going to have issues with hosting?
Great questions. Well, one of the things that that you mentioned when it's when you were going through, we're not really sure what to use, but what technology should we use? That's one of the mistakes that businesses and organizations make is we go immediately towards what technology should we use as opposed to what are we trying to accomplish. So there is a big difference between the blog and the forum. The blog being something where you're posting some information and then individuals can comment, whereas a forum is really just meant for a little piece of information and then mainly built towards the discussions. So I guess I would ask back to you before I give you my thoughts on the blog platform. Are you looking more to embed pictures and embed videos as in a blog, or are you looking strictly for more of the discussion type of technology?
Well, we were looking for a forum because then we could have different topics. And we can divide it up towards manufacturers. We could divide it up towards regions or clubs or so on and so forth. So a forum, I think, would be a better fit than a blog. But there's also ease of use and cost since it's a nonprofit.
Right, right. Well, in regards to the forum, there are several different PHP. That's a coding language. You can type in PHP forum into Google and find a few. One of them that I've seen is that we've really been fond of is PHP BB. So P as in Paul, H as in Henry, P as in Paul, B as in Blackberry, B as in Blackberry.com. And it's a good tool that I believe is open source. So in regards to the forum, that would be a good way to go. Another thing you might want to consider, given explaining it a little bit more to me, might be a wiki. A wiki is one that actually it stands for Quick in Hawaiian, and it actually is one of the tools, the wiki tools that I'm sure you've heard of is Wikipedia, which is the largest wiki on the web. And that's also very much geared towards being able to have discussions and you can get up WikiGup very quick, as the word implies. And personally, my favorite for what you're explaining, I think might be a great fit, is a website called WetPaint, WetPaint, WetPaint.com. You can get started very quickly. You can create content with a WYSIWYG, or what you see is what you get editor, pretty much just like editing in a Word document. You can also assign who can see it. So if you want just certain people to see the website, and if you want just certain people to manage and administrate the website, you have complete control of both of those functions. So I think a wiki might be a good way to go as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right, Pat, thanks so much for the phone call.
All right.
And good luck on your website for the ATV Association. There are a lot of recreational users up there in the North Woods, and I imagine they are looking for new ways to communicate. Brad, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in all of this? It must have been a challenge to learn HTML programming language in high school.
Well, you know, I've always been a tech guy. I've always really been obsessed with computers ever since I got my first Mac when I was, I think, 12. Well, it was the family Mac with 16 colors, but I just was obsessed with technology I wore a lot of Velcro and sweatpants, so, you know, I spent a lot of time at home. So, I just really enjoyed playing around with technology.
Were you one of those kids with a pocket protector?
You know, I didn't have the pocket protector. I was about one step away from the pocket protector. I still had friends. I just liked technology. I liked, at the time they were called BBSs. It was, you would dial in with your 2400 baud modem, which is about, few hundred times slower than the speed of today, and you would go on to these systems, and to download a picture it would take a few minutes just to get a picture. But I still loved the ability for us to be able to exchange information via the web, and that was when the web first started. And when I was in high school, I still was very tech savvy and always had more of a left brain, and actually went to college to study engineering. But I was always just fascinated by the ability to get something up onto a website at the time. I really had very little understanding of what that meant. But put something online that anybody in the world with access to this internet, to this interconnected series of computers, that they could see what I put up in my home in Cleveland, Ohio. and whether or not they were in Dubai or San Francisco. And it really enlightened me to the power and the potential of what the web could mean to what I didn't even really understand, which was marketing and running a business. At the time, it was more, I just wanted to get some things on the web. But as time went on and as I went got my engineering degree and my master's here at Case Western Reserve, I really began to see this is a lot more than just getting out some information on the web. This is marketing. This is sales. This is public relations. And these were all things that I didn't get to learn about in engineering school. So I just became very impassioned with learning about how to market, what marketing actually meant, and actually applying it to the different organizations and the different businesses that I was helping get started.
Brad Kleinman of WorkSmart eMarketing. He is one of the presenters at an all-day conference on eMarketing Techniques for Business. It does take place at North Central Technical College this coming Wednesday, June 3rd. Now, a clarification, Wisconsin Public Radio is the media sponsor for that event. North Central Technical College, the main sponsor. And again, it's this June 3rd. There is a fee involved. You can register at emarketingtechniques.com or by telephone at 715-803-1335. That's 803-1335. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more of your questions on e-marketing for Brad Kleinman right after this.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
261-6371, that's 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, that's 780-9742. If you've got questions about starting your own web-based business, about starting your own web page, about how to interact better and market yourself or your ideas or your concepts or whatever you're selling, we've got Brad Kleinman, who is going to be one of the presenters at an e-marketing conference coming up on June 3rd. Brad, you've been trying to get businesses to be successful in websites, search engines, and social media. Can you define social media for me?
Sure. Well, to break it up into its parts, social being communicating with people, interacting with people, media being pictures, audio files, video files. Anytime you hear the term podcast or blog or YouTube video or social networking, all of those words fall into this overall umbrella of social media. So people interacting and sharing content that they find interesting, whether it's pictures, videos, or otherwise.
So with social media, what is the difference between marketing on social media and a traditional sales approach, whether you're using an ad on the radio or TV or in the newspaper?
Sure. Well, you know, when it comes to e-marketing versus marketing, that's all e-marketing is. It's just an extension of marketing, which is performed online. So as opposed to the traditional methods of marketing where there were only a few ways. If you imagine before the web, all of us know before the web, there were a few ways that we could do it. We could print out some flyers, we could do radio ads, we could do TV ads, and there were just a few other ways that we could market. But with the advent of the web and also especially as we moved from web 1.0, so the creation of the web, to what's really been over the past 6-7 years, the major transition to what we now call web 2.0, there are now so many different ways to market ourselves. Marketing being getting people to know us, like us, and trust us, because that's who we buy from. We buy from people that we like and that we trust.
Is there a difference in the approach you make in selling yourself on the web to selling yourself, say, on the radio or TV?
In a sense, I would say yes. I think that there's a big transition taking place, thanks to what's going on with the web and thanks to the blog, for example, being the reason why you were the person of the year in 2006. It put the power into everyone's hands to be able to be content creators, to have their own video channels. You know, YouTube gives you the ability to to go right on there and for free start your own channel. So it's really changed the game. And what I think that that's made a major change in the way that we market in general is that we have to be driven towards being content creators, creators of value, and be able to propagate that value and push that value out through those different online channels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of a transition of paradigm. It's more of a paradigm shift that the e-method has, or e-marketing has really taken about.
I guess what I was thinking of, Marshall McLuhan used to say that television was a soft medium compared to radio, which was a hard medium. And I'm wondering if there's that kind of a difference in marketing yourself electronically. Is it a hard or a soft sell?
Well, you know, I would definitely say that in regards to the hard versus soft sale, it's much more of a soft sale. For example, with email marketing, we know that when it comes to statistics of email marketing, if you send out an email, and I don't like to use the term blast because you know, it makes it sound so cliche, but when you send out an email to 1,000 of your subscribers, we're expecting that only 20 to 40% of those individuals are actually going to open those emails. That has a lot to do with spam filters, and there's ways we can increase those numbers. But when it comes to email marketing, we're not always expecting them to read that one email and then buy right then and there as a hard sell. The better strategy with email marketing is looking at it as a soft sale, as let's send them a monthly newsletter, getting them in the know of valuable information that is valuable to their business, that makes them think about us when they think about those types of products in the future when they're going to buy that product. See, they might not be interested in buying my widget right now, but if they were receiving a monthly value-based newsletter from me on an ongoing basis, 6 months from now when they're ready to buy, they might consider me because of my email newsletter.
When we were talking, I think it was yesterday, Brad, you mentioned to me over the phone that your motto is 90% of the time you give things away. Now, how is that supposed to work?
Well, you know, it's the same. It actually, I don't want to take credit for it. It's actually from a website called TwiTip. So it's Twitter Tips, or TwiTip.com. It's a wonderful blog that they actually made a guest post in February of 2009. And this idea of the 90-10 rule is 90% of the time give it away, 10% of the time that's when you can talk about yourself. And the basic strategy, the basic idea behind this is if you're focusing on giving away value, on not giving away the farm. No, I'm not saying for those of you who are listening that you want to give away all your value for free, because, of course, that is not what I'm saying. If that was the case, you would not still be in business. However, if 90% of the time you are focusing on letting those individuals know that you are not just about the sale, that you are about the relationship, you are about giving them interesting information and valuable information that can help them, that will make them like you, know you, well, know you and like you and trust you more, so that when you are talking about that new press release you have out, that new sale, that new product line or new product that you've got that's coming out of the market soon, they will listen because they've seen that all of the information you've been posting so far, or a major majority of it, has been value-based, because you're not just reaching for their wallet, you're reaching for their hand to shake it. And that's actually, what's the quote? You can't shake their hands if you're reaching for their wallet. And I think that definitely is the case with social media.
Brad, I was looking at the list of breakout topics for the conference that's coming up at North Central Technical College this Wednesday. Using Facebook and LinkedIn to market your business, leveraging blogs to syndicate valuable content and generate leads, taking advantage of viral marketing with Twitter and online video, driving traffic to your site through search engine optimization, and something you just mentioned, how to use free Web 2.0 tools to ease your marketing pains. But it seems like the words we're hearing a lot lately is Facebook and Twitter. How many people are actually on Facebook right now?
Well, Facebook just last week, I believe it was midweek last week, topped 225 million users. So there's a large majority of those users are outside of the United States. And what's also interesting about the usage of Facebook is that not only is it the largest of all the social networks, but it's also the most used. And it's actually what we call the traffic king, the attention king. So of half the users that are actually on Facebook, half of them are using Facebook every day. So we're not talking about individuals that come to the website and then don't come back. And actually, Twitter has a problem with that. Twitter actually has some has a higher churn rate. So only about 40%. This is a statistic that came out from ComScore.
Now churn. I got to interrupt you here. Churn is something that's been around in the sales world for a long time. But I'm sure a lot of people who aren't plugged into marketing don't know what it means.
Sure. So we'll look at churn as the amount of people that are dropping out of a certain website. So month to month, if you join a website and then you drop out of that website, you're considered in that overall percentage of churn. Another way to look at churn is if that whole 100% of the pie, if 60% is their churn rate, that means that 40% is their retention rate. So another way to look at churn is that the other part of the pie is the retention. So looking at it from that perspective, 40% of the people that join Twitter are staying month to month, whereas Facebook and MySpace actually have higher retention rates, higher rates of people actually coming back.
How is Twitter, it really seems to be the thing lately, and I'm wondering if this is a long-term stable part of marketing, or is it really just a fad? Everybody is certainly talking about it. Celebrities are using it. Even cable news shows right now are using Twitter to interact with their viewers. I'm just wondering how long it's going to last.
You know, I wish I had a crystal ball and could tell you. One of the interesting things, as we all know, about the new way of doing things and the new web and the new e-marketing and social media is that things change on such an amazingly fast basis. And if you look at Twitter's growth, the growth over the past year has been exponential. And yes, it has been a huge reason why it's grown so much is because of celebrities like Oprah and Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher, just in a matter of 3 months, topped 1 million Twitter followers.
Wow.
So things like that are perfect reasons why Twitter has become such a fad, and I don't know if it's necessarily a fad yet because it's still growing. There's no way possible that it will be able to continue at the percentage growth that it's been going at. But I do feel that it is here to stay, at least in the in the e-marketing term, in the e-marketing world, a long term is a few years.
Brad, I want you to hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break for news.
Sure.
Can you hang on for another half hour?
Yes, absolutely.
With us? All right, we're going to be joined by Kirk Howard and Chris Martin of Kinsey Green Marketing in Wausau. They're going to tell us how some of these techniques are being applied locally in central Wisconsin. A reminder that conference on e-marketing takes place at North Central Technical College this coming Wednesday, June 3rd, and you can register at emarketingtechniques.com. That's emarketingtechniques.com. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51, and we will be back right after this news.
Sign up for Wisconsin Public Radio's monthly e-newsletter to find out about all things WPR. You'll get in-depth information on programs, news, and upcoming events. Go to WPR.org to sign up today.
We're back on Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today we are talking about the world of electronic marketing. Now, the reason we put the program together today is because Wisconsin Public Radio is the media sponsor for a conference on e-marketing that takes place this Wednesday, June 3rd, at North Central Technical College. And one of our guests today is Brad Kleinman. He's the chief marketing officer of WorkSmart eMarketing. He's one of the presenters at this conference. And if you would like to go to the conference, you can register. I want to make sure I've got this right, at emarketingtechniques.com. That's emarketingtechniques.com, or by telephone at 715-803-1335. That's 715-803-1335, and there is a fee for attending the conference. All right, so write those phone numbers down and forget them, because I'm going to give you two other phone numbers now, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Those are the numbers to call in with questions. If you would like some of your concerns answered, or if you're thinking of of starting your own business and you'd like to know how the web and how the internet could help you do that, or if you're a business person and you want to develop your own website or use Facebook or Twittering or any of the other tools, give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Brad, you still there?
I'm still here.
And I'd like to introduce you to Kirk Howard, who is the CEO and president of Kinsey Green Marketing, and also Chris Martin, who is the guy who does all of their internet work and their web work. Kirk, how long has Kinsey Green been around in the Wausau area?
We're beginning our 43rd year, so we've been around in Wausau since 1966.
And Chris, how long have you been a part of the total package there?
Part of Kinsey Green for about 10 years now in this industry, probably going on my 15th year.
So, Kirk, you have been associated with marketing long before the internet was a factor. What was it like at Kinsey Green, say, 15, 20 years ago before the internet?
It was a lot different, let me tell you. We had we talk about this a lot, and every now and then when the computer system goes down, it doesn't go down very often because Chris is in charge, but when it does, it's like people are, some of the newer people are just stopped. You know, what do? How do we email? And we have to remind people, you know, we pick up the phone, and we used to paste up ads where we'd, run the text out on a piece of paper and paste it down and cut it and trim it with X-Acto knives and send it to Milwaukee to make film. And
it's all just cutting changed. And pasting actually
yep.
meant cutting and pasting.
Totally changed. And, you'd talk to clients and have a meeting and you'd meet maybe 2 weeks later. Now it's probably about 7-8 emails a day back and forth. So the pace has picked up tremendously.
And Chris, web design and using all of these electronic techniques, this is really part and parcel of it's become the focus of what you guys do now.
It has. I think when we started, at least when I started at Kinsey Green, we were probably, if somebody sent you an email and you had a project at hand, you could probably wait about, you could put it off and work on it for a couple weeks. Now people are looking at it, almost instantaneously on a response to get back in touch with them within the hour. If they don't, they think you're probably on vacation. It's just everything is moving so quick, and you really have to stay on top of it. I think that's one of the great things about this conference. The technology has changed so much, and just to keep people on top of things and the trends and just looking outside the box of what they're maybe comfortable or used to and thinking about some of these other different, social networking types of things.
When we took our break, we were talking about Twittering, which seems to be the flavor of the month for the internet. And Kirk and Chris, I'll ask both of you, do you think there's a limit to its applicability?
Well, we're watching it carefully. A lot of our clients, we're a business-to-business agency primarily, so a lot of our work is intended to get to busy engineers. We're specifying building products or architects, and right now I think those people are so busy that they're not susceptible or likely or favorable to receiving that kind of constant feedback and information. It'd be like the phone ringing every day when you're trying to do a drawing and develop a building, but I think there's certainly applications in consumer products.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of watching it. Again, it's another tool, and you need to be aware of all of them and find the best fit.
And Brad Kleinman, Twittering as a tool, do you find that it's useful for some businesses and some applications and not for others?
There's definitely it's definitely not a silver bullet when it comes to a marketing tool that'll work for everybody, not just because it's so different for everybody, because the awesomeness of Twitter is in its simplicity. It's what you make of it. It's also amazing in the fact that its APIs are completely open. And what that means for the listeners is that we can actually tag into, depending on what you tweet about, what you send out a status about, you can have it so that those tweets go out into your website or if they go out into your blog. So there's a lot of benefits to it, but yes, it is something that I feel that not every business is going to be able to get success from Twitter, especially if they go on it thinking that, I'm just going to talk about my own stuff, I'm going to yell as loud as I can and hope that people hear me. So it's definitely not the silver bullet.
You know, Twitter has been mocked for being superficial. I don't know if you've looked at the Doonesbury comic strip they had there. cable news guy Roland Headley sending out tweets about what he was putting on his hamburger and some other rather personal things that people probably wouldn't want to know about the individual. So I guess you know, is it superficial by its very nature? I mean, how much can you communicate in only 140 characters?
Would you like me to answer that?
Well, why don't you start, and then we'll let Kirk and Chris take a whack at it.
Sure. Well, you know, in its simplest sense, answering the question, what are you doing, it could imply that by answering that question, you're assuming that people actually care. When blogging first started, it was just mainly people just blogging about what they were doing, and it was not very valuable. It was just a chronological ordering of this is what I'm doing, that is what I'm doing. But then as time went on and as it evolved, it turned into more than that. But is there still that vain part of it where, and there is a lot of celebrity BS out there, and I think there always will be, because it's human nature to want to talk and want people to listen. I think that's just completely normal in regards to any type of these technologies. Anybody can jump onto Facebook and be that guy. You know, we mm-hmm. talk a lot about at the conference about how you don't want to be that guy. How can you not be that guy?
Well, we live in a celebrity culture. I mean, just look at the magazines at the checkout aisle of the supermarkets.
I think a big part of marketing is targeting your message to the right people at the right time. And I keep thinking Twitter would probably have some great applications for somebody who, let's say in central Wisconsin, has a nightclub and wants to keep their listeners knowing who the next group is going to be and what's going on with the next musical group that's going to be on stage. I think that'd be very effective, but you know, to just send out messages randomly to everybody you know is just kind of a shotgun approach.
Right. To jump on that, I completely agree. It is a lot about knowing who you're trying to get information to. There's a lot of tools that are out there, thanks to the Twitter API, thanks to its ability to be plugged into, so to speak, that we can be able to see who in our local region is actually tweeting. And that's one thing that I would recommend for the listeners to do. There's a tool called Twitter Local, and you can go to Google, type in Twitter Local. I believe it's twitterlocal.net, and you can type in your zip code, and it'll show who the people in your zip that are tweeting. So it's a way to immediately connect with those individuals. Usually they're the early adopters, the tech-savvy individuals. A lot of people that are tweeting are also blogging. They're also on Facebook. And I do think that there's certain industries, like down in Houston, Texas, there's a company, a coffee shop called Coffee Grounds. And they started doing a lot of tweeting to build one-on-one relationships, not just to blast out information about their shop. And next thing you know, some people are starting to send in their orders via tweets. Zappos is accepting customer service requests over Twitter.
That's a big part of the electronic media, Chris Martin, isn't it? That it's two-way communication.
It is, and I was going to say I think that it's an important part of the whole marketing strategy, because I you know, as Brad was saying earlier, building that trust and relationship with your customers, I think it can play a big role in that. And you know, I was remembering a situation when Brad was talking about the 90% that you're giving away, and it reminded me of a gentleman that does plumbing and well drilling, and he has a online part of his website where you can ask him questions about, you know, what if my water's red, or what if I'm getting a little pressure here, and he was, you know, giving away information that was, you know, probably possibly taking some of the dollars out of his pocket at that time. But, you know, I can guarantee you that those customers built a relationship and are still building a relationship with them. And next time they need that well drilled or a new pump installed, their odds are pretty good that with that new relationship that they have, they're going to be calling him.
We're talking to Chris Martin and Kirk Howard of Kinsey Green and Brad Kleinman, who's going to be conducting a marketing conference, an e-marketing conference next Wednesday at North Central Technical College. If you want to start your own website, if you want to get into blogging, if you want to find a way to market your business better or your nonprofit through through electronic media. This is your chance to get some free advice. Give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51. We're talking about e-marketing with Brad Kleinman he is going to be coordinating a conference at North Central Technical College this coming Wednesday. And if you would like to find out more about that, you can go online at emarketingtechniques.com. That's emarketingtechniques.com. Or you can register at 803-1335. That's Brad Kleinman of WorkSmart eMarketing, Kirk Howard and Chris Martin, also of Kinsey Green, with us. I've got a question about how much time this takes. If you're in business, you've got a lot of things to do. You know, you've got to keep your inventory stocked. You've got to manage your employees. You've got to take care of your customers. You've got to stock your store every day. You've got to deal with your clients. You've got to pay bills. You've got to file forms with the federal government. You've got to pay taxes. Who has time to do all of this stuff?
Nobody. That's why you hire a marketing firm. You're right. I mean, there's so many things occupying people's time today. The staffs are leaner, and there's so many demands on people's time. But that's why I think it's so important to have a good marketing strategy and a brand concept in mind when you start to do any kind of marketing. So, you know, when you're doing electronic communication or any of the other more traditional media, if you can tie everything together, it gets a lot simpler. So that's why we do a lot of work with brand development and really try to figure out what's the essence of that product or service first, and then apply that to all the different channels. Makes it simpler.
And Chris, how would that work in designing an e-marketing strategy for an individual company? You must have different strategies for different companies.
Well, what Kirk was just saying, too, I think that when people do see some of these new technologies, it sometimes is a learning curve. They have to do the research themselves. You know, we're constantly keeping on top of the technology, and it changes every day. And I don't know how the average person that, you know, is trying to run a business could stay on top of it all. We look at a variety of these different items along with a whole scope of other things that, you know, we look at in their whole overall marketing campaign, and we try to bring it all together. You know, sometimes when people try new things and they spend a lot of time on it and it doesn't have an immediate result, then they get really discouraged and they just quit doing it. And I saw one of the things on Brad's agenda, a list of things he was talking about, just search engine optimization. You know, they may do it once, and then if it doesn't have an effect or it doesn't work, then they give up. They think, oh, you know, they're out to get me, and I'm never going to get to the number one position, so they just give up. But it really needs to be a full round approach, you know, and it has to be consistent. You have to continue always improving on it.
Brad, search engine optimization, what are some of the things you're going to be teaching people on Wednesday?
Sure. Well, you know, we're going to get to some of the universal understandings behind what it means to optimize your website for the search engines. Cold hard truths about search engine optimization is that if you're not creating good, valuable content, you're not going to be able to optimize your website for certain keywords. And there are certain ways, and there are certain must-dos that we're going to go over, such as making sure that you're taking advantage of your title tags. That's a big one when it comes to any small business, any nonprofit that has a website and has made that investment into the website. You have to make sure that if you are going for certain keywords and what those keywords are, we're also going to look at what those words are that you want to hone in on so that when people type in those words, they find you. So a lot of it has to do with that research, and I completely agree with what the fellows were saying about the importance of brand strategy and understanding that architecture. But one thing, for example, is the title tags, that you need to include those keywords in the title tags. The title tags are at the top of your window browser when you see a website. It's all the way at the top. And a lot of companies only have the name of their company or home or about us as their title. Well, when Google's robots goes in and they search and they see, I wonder what this website is about, the first thing they see is the title tag. So that's why it's such an important area of optimization. And a lot of us are not taking advantage of that. So we're going to look at very specific areas of how you can improve those.
And a lot of people don't even know when you're talking about those things, Brad, what those even mean. And it's one of those things that, you know, just educating people, you know, that these things are important, that they don't realize you put up a web page and it gets searched by Google and they forgot to put them things in, that they can't figure out what's going wrong, why it's not appearing, and that sort of thing.
We do a tremendous amount of website development, and I am just flabbergasted that there are businesses out there that still don't have a website. We found a few of those, but for a lot of them that do, it's amazing how many haven't taken advantage of those search engine optimization strategies. And so there's been a lot of work created for marketing firms to go in and do that, and it's something you do need to pay attention to.
And as I understand it, it involves keywords, right? You're things that are associated with your business and somehow...
Yeah, imagine you're looking for a certain service And how would you look it up in the phone book, in the yellow pages? What words come to mind? You want to type those in, and if you type in baseball bats, and we had a baseball bat manufacturer here in Wausau, would they or would they not come up pretty quick in the first 10, 20 listings? And there are ways to develop strategies that they would come up in the top 10. We do a lot of work for the American Society for Laser Medicine Surgery. When somebody needs laser surgery, they type it in, they're number one and all over the world, so...
How important is Facebook these days? A lot of users. In fact, I have been told, and I haven't done this myself, but we have folks that we have put on staff who have just done this. You can now communicate with us here at Route 51 on Twitter and Facebook, okay? You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/Route51, and if you are on Facebook, you put Route 51 in the search bar and then click on our fan page.
Will you be my friend? You don't know what that means, dude.
I have a feeling I'm about to find out.
I'll answer that because I think that Facebook's great. But I do think it has a relevance to certain business and certain organizations where it may not necessarily for everybody. It's a great way of advertising an event. If you got something coming up, and it's also a great way to keep people informed about your organization. It's an easy way, I should say, as well, because you don't have to know anything really about the technicals of it. It's just you sign up for an account, you can upload pictures, and you can update it in real time. And the neat thing is people can participate. They can talk on your front page, and you can have discussions, and you can have voting things, and there's all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool. You'd like it, Glenn.
And Brad Kleinman, you were saying that the number of people on Facebook is just phenomenal.
Well, yeah, it's over 225 million now. The fastest growing demographic is the older demographic, the boomers. I'm not saying old. I meant less than
go ahead, say it.
I don't want to. But the fastest growing demographic is boomers.
You've insulted two out of the four people on the show.
I didn't mean to insult you all. The fastest growing demographic being boomers. Why is that the case? Because everyone younger is already on it. I mean, the numbers are just incredible when it comes. If you look at college students, for example, almost 90% of college students are using Facebook.
Yeah, how come I can't get my young adult sons and daughters to let me in?
Right.
They won't
sometimes
be
you'll get
I raised them, but they won't let me be their friend.
Right. Yeah, my business partner, he's friends with his mom, and he gets attacked by her all the time, commenting on his statuses and everything. But yes, there's been a major, major transition with Facebook. When it first started, you could only have a Harvard address, an email address from Harvard, and then it turned out you could only have a .edu address in general, and they opened it up to all students with an .edu. Then it opened up to anybody with an email address, and then it opened up to businesses. And just over the past few months, there have been major, major enhancements, and a lot of it having to do with Twitter being so much more open, and there's been a lot more openness that's been unraveled thanks to the new Facebook pages, otherwise known as Facebook public profiles that you were mentioning, Glenn. So you don't just want to start a personal profile, and I personally feel that any business wanting to take advantage of Facebook kind of has to understand it from its core personal uses before they get really into the business uses of it. And then you can start a personal profile page, I'm sorry, a public profile page, which is completely free. And for those individuals that don't have websites, and there are a lot of them out there, these Facebook pages are 100% free. When you make an update into your what we call the What's on Your Mind, or it's the status update similar to Twitter, it comes into your fans' news feed, which is a very important component. It's been a major change in how Facebook gets along with businesses now.
Well, again, as you were saying, 225 million people, that's almost the population of the United States. That's huge. I have read somewhere that Dell Computers attributed 1 million in sales last year just to Twittering. How is that possible?
Well, they were pushing out refurbished, products and also discounts on certain products through their tweets. And, that was the main way. With Twitter, they were able to grow their follower base, not just promoting their own stuff, but, growing it to, and actually, while we're speaking, I'll get onto their account and see exactly how many followers they have now. But, when they were able to push out those new products, and actually I'm looking at Dell Outlet, and they've got I'm on the mobile area, but they've got probably a significant amount of people. When they were able to send out those deals along with the deals they had a tracking mechanism with them, so they were able to find out exactly how many of them were coming from Twitter. And that's one of the great things about Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. For those of you who are wondering, well, how do I actually measure if I'm making any type of return? Well, we can actually see what traffic has come to our website, and Google Analytics is my personal favorite, what traffic has come to my website from Twitter, what has come from LinkedIn and Facebook, and that was how they were able to track those numbers.
And Kirk and Chris, that's very important to know exactly who's tuning into your message.
Companies are very, very insistent these days that they get a good return on their investment, and so it's very important that you tell them where your messages are being received and be able to document that. So I think there are some great value to some of these electronic tools to monitor that.
Well, gentlemen, we are out of time, and like the electronic media, it has gone by at the speed of light today, and I want to thank all three of you, Kirk Howard and Chris Martin of Kinsey Green, and also Brad Kleinman, who is going to be one of the presenters at this conference on e-marketing that is taking place this Wednesday, June 3rd, at North Central Technical College. And again, gentlemen, thanks to all of you for being with us. And Brad, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you this Wednesday.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Glenn.
And again, if you want to register, check out emarketingtechniques.com or by telephone 715-803-1335. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Kelson Quisler and Scott Clark. And thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, we talk to members of an organization that's been in existence for 60 years in our state, the Wisconsin Regional Riders Association. That's it for us. Thanks for riding with us, or should I say surfing with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.